Revelation chapter 2. Now, I started last Sunday morning on a series of messages through the life of Moses. And guess what? First thing happened to me, I'm not preaching on Moses the next Sunday. But I'm going to just keep a preaching through Moses. Now, I want to tell you tonight, Brother Messick's going to preach for me tonight. And I want you to come. You can ask him and you can ask anybody that knows me, but I don't ask preachers to preach just to be a preacher and just to be nice. I try to follow the leading of the Lord. The Lord knew I needed somebody to preach for me tonight. And I'll bet you he's going to have something for us. So I encourage you, make a special effort to be here tonight. And you know, Brother Messick, he'll try to help you when you're teaching, when you're preaching. I think you ought to come tonight and practice saying amen on him. You can practice on him. Would it be all right if we practice on you? You know, I'd hate to see him if everybody got the amen and the shouting and hallelujah. He'd probably just fall over up here, you know, and just, they don't tell him what happened to him. But anyway, come and help him to preach tonight. Revelation chapter 2. Now, Revelation 2 and 3 is the letters of Jesus Christ to the seven churches of Asia. And they are a picture of, their letters, not just to those individual churches, but they're written to us too. And they picture not only individual churches, that independent churches and the problems and the situations and so forth they may deal with, but they're also a prophetic picture going down through the church age of God working through the church and what's going on in the life of the church. And I speak of those people that are born again people. Now, this passage of scripture here says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd help us to preach the Word of God. Help us to be faithful to the Scriptures. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll do the preaching on the inside of people's hearts, spirits, minds, souls, Lord. So, Lord, they could leave this place today knowing that they came to worship and they met God. Lord, please, this morning speak to us, meet with us, walk in the midst of us, Lord, I pray. And God, I pray that you'll take this simple truth from your word and, Lord, do in my life what needs to be done with it. Lord, we are so vile, we're so depraved, so, Lord, just utterly wicked in our flesh, that unless, Lord, the Holy Spirit quickens us, we won't get anything. Lord, we need more than an intellectual assent to some Bible truth this morning. It needs to be deeper than just our mind. Lord, we need something working down deep in our hearts, deep in our spirit. And Lord, I've preached long enough and been saved long enough and observed, Lord, long enough to know that unless you move upon the face of the deep, there will be no life spring forth. And so, Father, we're praying, blessed Holy Spirit, we're praying today that you would help us to crucify ourselves and to get out of the way. Lord, may we be like old John the Baptist this morning who said, he must increase and I must decrease. Heavenly Father, we want to say this morning that we do hallow your name. We love you, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for being such a wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we bless your holy name today and thank you for dying for us, for giving your life that we could be saved. Lord, for transferring your righteousness to us and taking our sin and guilt upon you. I cannot comprehend that love, but I accept it this morning, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I want to focus on that, not me. Lord, help these folks this morning not to focus on how sorry they've been, how rough life is, how mean the devil is. Lord, I pray, help them to focus on Jesus today and who He really is and what He's really done for them, what He's going to do for them. And Lord, make everybody in this building today know that You didn't start this thing not to finish it. Lord, You're going to take them through. You're going to take them on to glory. Lord, if they're saved, You're going to take them through. You're going to take them through their tears and their trials and their troubles and their torments and their tribulations. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Lord, this morning, help us to be like old Noah, just to get in the ark and rest and labor. But, Lord, there is a sweet rest in the labor of the Lord. We thank You for that. Lord, help me to preach this message simple. Help me to be as brief as I possibly can. But we'd ask, oh, sweet Holy Spirit, that You'd just really work in us today. And exalt the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, I don't know everybody's soul's condition in here. Seems like, Lord, everybody seems like they say they're saved. I pray they are, Lord. But, oh God, if there's somebody in here today that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day the Holy Ghost would make them see themselves for who they really are and make them see their need of a Savior today. Oh God, make them see their lostness, I pray, that they might see their need of a Savior. And Lord, we just want to say again, thank You for loving us while we were yet sinners. And thank You, Lord, that You've never left Your first love for us. Lord, You know we're guilty this morning. Many's the time we've left our first love for You. But Lord, I thank You for pointing out to me this week that You have never left Your first love for us. Lord, I tell You, I appreciate You this morning. I just pray You'll accept our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. I was praying this week, early in the week, and a lot of times after Sunday, you know, I just kind of try to rest and try to get myself back and just to preaching mode, just back into a living mode for the Lord and my personal life with the Lord. And I was praying this past week for joy and praying about joy. But I have always realized, God somehow or another made me to understand, that in the Christian life, you have to have joy. And let me say to you, don't you mistake because I have a few tears once in a while that I don't have joy. I'll tell you what the fact of it is. I don't think you know the fullness of joy unless you've wept your heart out before the Lord. And let I tell you, sometimes when that sweet Spirit of God and Word of God and the Lord comforts you, you'll cry and laugh at the same time. Amen. And I was praying about that, and because we have to have strength to serve the Lord. You have to have strength to get up tomorrow morning, to go to that job again, to face the battles and the trials and the disappointments and so forth that you may face. And you need, it's not a physical strength so much as it is an inner strength. The Bible talks about being renewed on the inner man. And we need strength. And I've always loved that passage of Scripture in the book of Nehemiah where he said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many could stand a little strength this morning? You could stand a little strength. Amen. Strength for the journey. And so I was meditating on the subject of joy and thinking how important it is to the child of God, how important it is to the Christian to have joy. Now, because joy is so important to your life, I promise you this much, that the devil is going to make it one of his great priorities to take your joy out of your life. He is going to be about the business of stealing your joy from you. You know what? He'll let these kids run around here, and these kids ain't got no more sense than to be happy. Amen? They've not been hit with a lot of trials and troubles of life. But you're going to get up there in the teen years, and then first thing you know, you get married. Next thing you know, you're going to have a bill or two, and then you're going to have a sickness, and this going to come, and that's going to happen, and somebody's going to do you like a dirty dog. And the next thing you know, your joy is going to be gone from you. And you got to watch that thing. So I'm preaching this morning on restoring joy. But the Lord, as I meditated on this, made me to see something. He said, "Reggie," he said, "you're asking me for joy." And he said, "I want to give that to you." But he said, so you have the strength to serve. But he said, "I will show you what will rob you of your joy." And he brought my mind back to this passage of Scripture here in Revelation chapter 2, where it said, "Wherefore I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And the Lord reminded me of Galatians chapter 5 where it said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I heard a man say one time about the fruit of the Spirit, those nine fruit of the Spirit. He said, "Reggie, Love is the first one, and from it springs all the other fruit. And if you don't have the love, you will not have the joy, you will not have the peace, you will not have the gentleness, you will not have the temperance and so forth, and all those things. He said, that's going to come out of love. He said, that's the fountain of the fruit of the Spirit. And I got to meditating on that, and I thought, boy, that is so true. And so I want to just preach this morning, not about leaving your first love, because everybody has left your first love at one point or another. What I want to preach to you about is restoring your first love. You notice there in that passage, verse number one, it said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I want to say, first of all, this morning about this thing of love and joy, is that this in the church of Ephesus here, this one thing he says about them. First of all, he said that they were a favored church. You know what that Bible says right there? That Jesus Christ was walking in the midst of that church. Let me tell you something about church today. You need to be involved in a church where Jesus is walking in the midst of that church. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ for these past 30-some years has walked in the midst of this church. I mean, through the valleys, and I'll tell you, through the hills and through the rugged parts and the cliffs and everything else, but He's always walked in the midst of this church. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to have the favor of God. You ought to want Jesus walking in the midst of your home and your house and your marriage and your family. And that's a favored thing, to have God walking in the midst of your life. Let me tell you, you need Him more than you need the government. You need Him more than you need anybody. You need the Lord Jesus walking in the midst of your life. That word "in the midst" is a phrase that comes out of the book of Genesis, for the tree was in the midst of the garden. It's a phrase that comes out of Calvary, because Jesus hung in the midst of two thieves. And when you see that phrase "in the midst" in the Bible, it's talking about where God is really at. I mean, where God's talked about, but where God is at. Where God is moving. Let me say this to you. You need God walking in the midst of your family so your kids can get saved. You need God walking in the midst of your marriage so you can have a wonderful, delightful marriage. You need God walking in the midst of your work life. And I need God walking in the midst of my heart. And so this morning I want to tell you, first of all, it's a favored church. By the way, this has been a favored church. This church has had the favor of God on it. He has walked in the midst of this church, and I pray that He will always walk in the midst of this church. Now, I want to tell you sometimes about Jesus walking in the midst. Sometimes the folks around Him didn't know He was there, but He was in the midst. And sometimes Jesus is in the midst of us when we think the least that He is. I want to tell you, sometimes He's a still, small voice. He's moving in the hearts and the lives of people, and you don't even have a clue that somebody within 5 feet of you is being dealt with in such a way of God. There may be young men in here today that God, right now, you're battling being called to the ministry. And God is walking in the midst of your heart. There may be couples in here today whom God is dealing with about going to the mission field. And let me say something to you. I'm praying and seeking the Lord. You know, we had some money given to the church for the cause of Christ. And one of the things I'd like to see, and I'm going to be, don't come prancing up to me now saying I want to take a mission trip. But let me tell you this much I want to tell you. I think it would do us well to send some couples from this church. I'm talking about some couples to this church, to some mission places that this church supports and other places. And I think it would do well for this church to pay their way there and pay their way back, send them there for a couple of weeks, let them get a taste, bring that vision of the little ministry back into this church. And so I want you couples to be praying about that, okay? I want you to be praying about going on some mission visits. But it's good to have the Lord walking in the midst of this church. There's another thing God said that about that church of Ephesus. He said in verse number 2, He said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them with your apostles, and they're not, and found them liars. The second thing about this church, not only was Jesus walking in their midst, but this church was not just favored, they were fundamental. And I believe you ought to be fundamental. I'm not ashamed of being a fundamentalist. You say, Reggie, what do you mean you're a fundamentalist? That means I just believe the Bible, what it teaches and what it says. And the Bible, you say, Reggie, what do you mean by that? Well, I do believe in the total depravity of man. I do not believe there's a little spark of goodness down in somebody waiting for the fan of human kindness to come along and stuff like that. I believe man's totally depraved. I believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. I believe in the veracity of the King James Bible. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I believe in the sinless life of Jesus Christ. I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I believe in the substitutionary, absolute necessity of the substitutionary, sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. I don't believe in salvation by anything but grace through faith. I believe works is added to. After that, I believe you work because you are saved, but not to be saved. I believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He literally, bodily came up from the grave, alive forevermore. I believe that He is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, and He has the wounds of Calvary in His back and His face, His hands and His feet. I believe He was marred more than any man, and I believe He's interceding for us right now at the throne of God. He bodily went back up to be with the Father, and I'll tell you something, I also believe He literally will return to this earth. His feet will touch Mount of Olives. He will come back to rule and reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, and I believe that's what the Bible said. Now listen, I believe literally the Bible, amen. I believe heaven is for the saved and hell is for the lost, and I don't make any bones about that. I believe that the lost will go to the lake of fire forever and ever. I believe in the absolute essentiality of the new birth, that you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you will not go to heaven. I believe in the fruit of righteousness being evidenced by repentance. And I don't believe you can get saved without repentance. Amen. And I believe there ought to be some fruit there. And I'm like Donnie in that message this morning. I know we got a flesh nature in us, but I want to tell you something, Donnie, and I want to tell everybody in this church in relation to that Bible lesson. This church needs something, and I want to get you started on something right now. We got it down that we're a bunch of work. This is the first church of the salvage yard. We are a bunch of sorry, low-down jerks. I mean, we all deserve hell, but I want to tell you something. That's not going to do you a lot of good. Once you've seen that, the best thing you can do is acknowledge it and then start looking toward Jesus. You're not going to help yourself beating down and beating yourself to death up every day. I'm not a Catholic with a flagell heel beating my back, trying to earn brownie points with God, beating myself to death about how sorry I am. I'm trusting Him. And I'm going to look to Him. And you're not going to grow more like Jesus looking at your nasty self. You'll grow more like Jesus by looking in Him. And you'll grow more like Jesus getting in the book. And so I want to encourage you today, amen. I want to encourage you today. Yes, I'm sorry, you're sorry, we're all sorry. Amen. We're sorry. Now, I'm sorry that I'm sorry, but I won't tell you this much. You know something? I ain't looking at Reggie. Look at Reggie. Never did help me none. You're looking at you. The Bible doesn't tell you to look at you. It tells you to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Look what He did for you. Look at His mercy. Look at His grace. And the first thing you know, you'll be climbing up out of that sewer pit and running down through a bunch of lilies. So you got to get off yourself. Now, some of you have got it in your head that it's spiritual to be, oh me, oh my, how bad I am. Oh me, oh my, how what terrible things are, and oh my, and this makes me spiritual. No, it does not make you spiritual. It makes you really difficult to be around. Amen? It makes it difficult to even want to pass by you. Amen! If you're saved and you know it, say amen. You know what I'm saying? Well, we need to become like little children again, amen, and say, you know, yes, I am a sorry, low-down, hell-deserving nobody, but here's what I want to get to. You can be favored by Jesus Christ walking in the midst, and you can be fundamental. I'm telling you, I believe the book, and I'll beat you to death with it if you don't. I ain't that kind of fundamentalist. Don't want to be that kind of fundamentalist. I think you ought to have a little fun if you're going to be a fundamentalist. I mean, see, if you ain't careful, you got a reputation for it. That's not right. Quit that. Stop that. That's not right either. Stop that. I don't tell you what, I don't even want to talk about what it can't do. I want to talk about what it can do. I want to talk about the joy of serving the Lord, the joy of living for God, the joy of being a Christian, the joy of having our sins forgiven, the joy of having a home in heaven. I'm just saying this, that listen, you can be a fundamentalist with the wrong attitude. Are you listening to me? You can have your doctrine down all right, and I think you ought to know doctrine. We ought to preach doctrine. You ought to know doctrine. But I'm going to say this to you. I've seen people know doctrine mean as a devil. They know Jesus is born of the virgin. And they'll rip your guts out if you wear the wrong kind of clothes. If your hair ain't cut right. Some people think that I'm backslid because I got a mustache. I enjoy watching you think I'm backslid because I got a mustache. It blesses my heart to see. Because I'm going to tell you, can I give you something this morning? This mustache doesn't make me saved. And the mustache, hey, can I tell you a little secret? I had hair before I let it grow. You see what I'm saying too? I don't tell you what, you know what, man looks them on the outward appearance, and I don't know why I even said that, wasn't in my message, but I guess it just came. I am not guilty. You're just jealous because you can't grow one. I'll have a contest with you to see who can grow the biggest mustache. What do you think? Somebody said, Reggie, why'd you grow a mustache? Can I tell you the honest truth? I'm getting sick and tired of shaving here. That's it. No other reason. Wasn't nothing about spirituality, nothing. But I noticed people, oh, man, look, I'm waiting. And they'll go. I'm like, is that what it's about? What are people thinking about? You know, I don't, anyway, it don't matter. It don't matter. But what I'm saying is you can be a fundamentalist. He's got facial hair. Now, I'll tell you a little something. You better be careful about that because the priest over there is supposed to have. Uh-oh. I'm going to tell you something. Did you know what Phil Robertson said, don't you? The only two kind of people don't grow facial hair, and that's children and women. I am neither. And I didn't grow no facial hair for Phil Robertson either. He church Christ. Me and him don't agree about anything hardly, but we do some things. You say, Rich, what are you trying to say? I'm saying, here's what happens. The church starts out. The church is favored. God's with it. God's helping them. First thing you know, God's saying, all right, we're going to be fundamental. We're going to have some things down right. We're going to believe the Bible right. And then, look what it says next verse. You see, here's the problem. You get fundamental, you get proud about it. That is the problem. We got it right. Can I tell you something? I am so happy. I'm so happy that I have been guided by the Holy Spirit. I believe in the truth. Brother, I want to tell you something. I am thankful to know the truth of the Word of God. But if you ain't careful, you can get proud about the truth you know. And you'll get arrogant about it. And you'll focus on being fundamental. Now let's look at the next thing. Got to run. Verse 3. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and not fainted. These folks are not just favored. They were not just fundamental, but they were faithful. Now you watch this. This is quite a church, isn't it? They were favored with the presence of God in them. They were fundamental in their doctrine. They, I mean, they wouldn't even put up with evil. Buddy, I'll tell you what, they would expose sin. They would deal with sin. Wouldn't let sin creep in the church. They'd deal with it, amen. And they were fundamental. Had their doctrine down right. But more than that, God said these folks were very faithful. It says there that they are born. That word B-O-R-N-E. That means they carried the load, amen. They carried the load. Let me tell you something about a church. Somebody's got to carry the load. Somebody's got to carry the load. Somebody's got to be here, open that door up. Somebody's got to turn the thermostat on. Somebody's got to turn the lights on. Somebody's got to clean the place. Somebody's got to get out, box the CD. Somebody's got to do some praying, bear the load of praying, and be witnessing and so forth. It's all kinds of work. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't never been around church that labors and faithful and bores and has. I'm telling you something. If I get up here and God's in it and I say, let's do it, it just seems like the Holy Ghost just sweeps through the crowd and we do it. I'm telling you something. They're working people in this church. Labored. Amen. Labored. To make it happen. Do you think this building just got here? Do you think that gymnasium just got there? The other day one of the boys was walking through the gymnasium with me and they began to talk about how they remember putting the floor down. Bunch of high school boys put the floor down there, laid the floor deal down there and Dean got everybody together, got all the stuff and all the basketball boys. How many of you boys remember putting the floor down? Look at the hands over there. They put the floor down. Labor, and that's just a little bitty thing. I'm just one little thing that's been done here at this church. And I want to say something. This church has been favored. It is fundamental. It is, it's just faithful. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Wednesday night here, I don't know what they was here, 150, 200 people. There are preachers all of America would give their eye teeth to have 50 people out on Wednesday night. I'm talking about there's people sitting in this church house that live 40 and 50 miles away. And you're faithful. I can depend on you being here. God can depend on you being here. And I'm so grateful. Working church. Faithful church. A favored church. A fundamental church. This church had a problem. Now I want to say something before we go here in the next verse. God's not mad at them. And God ain't mad at you. I'm going to give you something to help your joy this morning. God showed me what helped my joy. I said, Reggie, here's how you get your joy where it needs to be. verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, and here's why. Because thou hast left thy first love. Verse number 5, he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And there it is. Now here's the deal. The church was favored. We've been favored. The church was fundamental. This church is fundamental. That church was faithful. This church, I'm just being honest with you. I had never in my life, and I've had preachers cry and weep in my presence. Boy, Reg, I wish God would give me some men like you've had. Boy, Reg, I wish God would send me some families like He sent you to help me. But this church was fallen. And let me tell you what will make this church fall. Leaving our first love. Leaving our first love. There's been some discussion about tempers and anger and this, that, and the other and so forth. Let me tell you something that I don't really want when I die. I don't want when my children or grandchildren remember me to remember me as an angry man. I want them, let me tell you, if you want to leave an impression on people that'll last throughout eternity, be a kind person. And the first thing that God ever says about love, charity, it says charity is kind. And let me tell you what happened to you when you're favored of the Lord, you get fundamental, and you get faithful. What will happen to you because you're in the battle and because you go through the experiences and the great warfare of spirituality, you will fall because you leave your first love. Can I tell you something? It wasn't adultery and fornication and nakedness and cigarettes and liquor and pornography that made this church fall. Let me tell you what made this church fall. Getting familiar with each other to the point of you do not appreciate each other anymore. Are you listening to me? Getting so familiar with each other that you do not appreciate each other. You take for granted each other. Let me give you three areas where we leave our first love. Number one, we leave our first love for the Savior. We're just working. We're going day by day. We're doing what we're doing. We're living best we can, kind of right. Yeah, we mess up. We got our flesh nature and so forth. And you know, but you know, we're going on. But the first thing you know, we just don't love Jesus like we used to love Him. Let me tell you, Easter time's coming up, and it's not about bunny rabbits and colored eggs and stuff. You kids listen to this preacher. This Easter season is actually not even Easter. That's a pagan holiday. It is the Passover of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think Sunday morning for Easter, all we ought to do is have an old-time glorious communion service, celebrating the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, I remember, I want to ask you, there's two words this passage of Scripture says here. Number one, remember. Number two, repent. That's what it says. Remember and repent. And what does God want us to repent of? He wants us to repent of leaving our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something. How long has it been since you remembered that He died for you and how wicked you are and how wonderful it was to be saved? You're more worried than that right now about tangent issues. They've taken over your mind. They've taken over your heart. The cares of this life have just absolutely consumed your ability to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, someone, you listen to me well. I don't think I'm much different than the average person. Karen's an awful good cook. Good cook. Good housekeeper. So like a dream. Works her fingers and knees out in the yard. Makes the yard beautiful. But did you know something, Brother Terry? If she did all that and never took time for me individually, I'd think something bad wrong. And as much as I like good food, clean house, all that stuff. You know what I really like? Spend time with her. And I'm not talking about in some kind of a, you know, sexual way. I'm talking about, you know what? Boy, it's just good to get to, just good to be together and just talk and maybe walk a little bit. Maybe go on a ride together, you know, and just love each other. You know, when I met Karen, Brother Messick, all I wanted to do is be with her. I didn't have to go see a show. I didn't have to go to Branson. I didn't have to, you know, go down and have a big supper. Shoot, we'd just go up to her house and pop some popcorn and sit in front of the fireplace. I'd say the happiest days of my life, Brother R.A. It was just those days when I fell in love with her, with that first love. But if you're not careful, you'll leave that first love for your spouse even. But let me tell you what's worse, you'll leave your first love for your Savior. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That's, to this day, I'll tell you what, God knows my heart. I'm sorry as dirt, but I'll tell you, God knows my heart. You say, Reggie, why do you like a four-wheeler for? Because I can go out in the back of my farm and crawl off that four-wheeler and get set on a stump or on a rock and get on my face before my Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, please don't let me forget how much you love me. Oh, God, please don't let me forget how much it was that brought me out of hell and saved me from hell and took me to heaven. God, don't let me forget my Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Song of Solomon is totally written about the intimate relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride wants to have with, the bridegroom wants to have with the bride, the church. And let me tell you something, it's wonderful to be favored with His presence, and it's wonderful to be fundamental, and it's wonderful to work and do camp and do this and do that and do school and do all these things. But I tell you, there'll be no substitute for loving your Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything the church needs in America, it's a brand new falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, we forget what He did for us, the pit that He dug us out of. I was talking to a man this week, and he was asking me some things about my faith and so forth. And he just started asking these questions. I said, well, I want to tell you, you better get something down real good. You're talking to a man who knows what sin is. And I said, I've been on my face vomiting, puking out liquor. Got home, didn't know how I got home 20 and 30 miles from the party. He says, you're kidding me. I said, no, I'm not kidding you. And I'm ashamed to say it. But I said, you ask me, I'm telling you. Don't you get in your head I'm some kind of righteous somebody. And I said, well, this is all I am to a man by the name of Jesus Christ, who loved me while I was yet a sinner. And the one thing that God did to just put the joy bell running in my soul this week was Jesus whispered in my heart and said, Reggie, yeah, you've left your first love for me many a time, but Reggie, you need to know something. I have never left my first love for you. I have never left my first love for you. I've never gotten cold and busy and forgot about Reg Kelly over there in Missouri. Not one time in all the days since he saved me has he forgot you today. I'm telling you something. I got some good news for you this morning. Brother, I'll tell you what, when you got that news, he's loving you with the first love. He still loves you with the first love. The night he saved you, he still loves you like he did the night he saved you. Amen. And I'm saying this tonight, if there's anything that the curse on our church will be, is that we lose our first love for the Savior. Second thing we're going to leave our first love for, and that's the saints. The brethren. I want to tell you this old preacher, there's something about me. I've been through a lot. And I ain't saying I've been through any more than anybody else has been in, but I wouldn't want anybody else to go through some of the junk I've went through spiritually. But you let me tell you something today. There used to be a man by the name of Forrest Love that sat right in here somewhere every Sunday. I still miss that man. There used to be a man sit right with that lady right there. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't forget those people who favored this church by being here. Men who were fundamental in their faith. Men who were faithful to be here. And I'm just saying this to you. Just what are you talking about? I'll tell you, I don't forget about these guys after they die. I don't forget about these ladies after they die. You say, Reggie, why? Because God put in my soul a love for the saints. And I'll tell you what's killing us is we don't love each other. Now, you listen to me, this is not in the Bible, but the principle is familiarity breeds contempt. Do you know what contempt is? Contempt is a courtroom word. You know what it means? You quit treating people with the respect and appreciation and reverence that they ought to have as your brother and sister in Christ. Can I tell you, when I meet Mike Pinson, if I meet him in Timbuktu, he's not just another guy. He's a brother in the Lord. But here's the problem. You've been going to church with the brethren so long, you know what they're really like. So you now decided you don't like them no more. I was in a jury trial with Ed Walthaus. Couldn't believe me and Ed Walthaus got picked in the same 12 jury deal. Can you imagine that? But let me tell you something. I am proud to say that I sat on the jury with that man. Because we sat there in jury deliberation, and I tell you what, he stood like a rock to the truth. He got a few barbs thrown at him, and I tell you what, he just stayed right there. And I sat there in my chair, and I said, God, I'll tell you, it's awful good to have brethren that you know, no matter where they're at or what the situation, the pressures that are coming, that they will stand by what is right. Amen. Now, Ed, you're kind of a caustical. I mean, tell you what, can't he say some offbeat things? But you know what I do? I have a deep appreciation in my heart. Let me tell you something about him. I remember the day I drove in through old dairy farm. They'd been coming to church here for a little bit, and the Lord told me to go up and talk to him. I drove up there, and Ed went up, said hi, and walked down there to see Ed, and said, Ed, I come talk to you about the Lord. And he said, I was kind of figured you did. Did I get that right? That's kind of about right. You said that's what you thought I was there for. Long time ago. My memory ain't so good either, Ed. If it's not right, tell me so. But you know what? Wasn't very long after that I saw Ed get saved one Sunday morning. And I watched him raise them kids up, and I've seen their battles and their struggles. And I'm going to tell you something. I love those people. They're special people to me. I've watched these families down through the years, and that's why I never get over grieving when people leave. You know what I mean? Hey, that's whatever. I don't know what they got to do. But I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost of God needs to put love. Oh, Don Zinn can't help but pick on you. If he ain't a mess, can you believe God would ever save a man like that, Brother Mitchell? If you want positive proof, sure, that God saves the lowest, right there it is. Amen. No. I'm going to tell you something. You're talking about... I guarantee you what he said this morning about this anger deal. You listen to me, buddy. I'm a little bit farther down the road, but be kind and loving to these kids. I know you love them. I know you'd die for them. But the devil will fight you morning and night, trying to create a division between you and your boys. And old Don's in, I tell you what, can I be honest with you? As rough as he is, I have never had a man in this church any more loyal than that man has been to me. I guarantee if I need somebody for backup, right there it'd be. You may say, well, I don't like some of the things he says, I don't like the way he acts, and I don't like his attitude. I don't give a rip whether you do or not. He's my brother and I love him. I may not like everything about it that he does. I ain't going to go on through the crowd this morning, but I'm going to tell you this much. We need to love the brethren. We need to love the brethren. And I'll tell you what we ought to do is remember. I want to tell you something. I was glad when I seen some folks walk in. Hey, some of you new families in here. You Griswolds over there. I want to tell you something. It tickles my heart to see you walk into church. I'm glad you were here. These folks that just started coming back. Good land of living. Can't even think of your name, sister. Huh? Barnhart's. I'm sorry. That's just me, true, through and true. What a joy it was to see them back in the country and come back to church. These folks right here. Cold, ain't it? Boy, what do you know? Preacher knew your name. That little girl hadn't been going here very long. She grabbed her a songbook and headed up here. You will think I noticed that. That blessed my heart up one side and down the other. I'm glad for these folks come in from South Dakota or North Dakota, whichever it was. What was that, Brother Ruckman? You can look over here. He don't want nobody talking about Ruckman. That's Ruckman's up there. Anybody with a name Wiegand shouldn't expect anybody to remember it, amen? You know what, me and Susanna drove up there. Was that North or South Dakota? South Dakota. South Dakota. We drove up there to that meeting. I never, in my wildest imagination, dreamed there'd be two families moved down this part of the country from that area. But my, what a blessing it's been to me. And even old Tim Carr. Boy, I'll tell you, Tim, I love you. Now, you listen to me this morning. You get in church, a bunch of people like this, and you get a bunch of guys like me and Don Zinn, a bunch of people and all that kind of stuff. First thing you know, somebody's going to do a job for somebody. Mm-hmm. Ain't they?
That's right.
Might even sell a house for somebody.
Maybe. Might happen.
Might happen. And in the process of all that junk, you're going to find out they like money almost as bad as you do. And you thought they were dead to themselves and didn't like money like you do. Oh, my. And you did a little business together. Or they did a little business and didn't hire you. There's where it is. Why, you ain't had no fun until you had 16 carpenters and contractors in your church. And one project came up available. I better quit this stuff and start preaching. I'm really not preaching now, am I? I know you guys went fishing together and you even went hunting together. Me and Paul went hunting together, didn't we, Paul? Well, I had to bust him and Don Zinn up. Well, they nearly got to Fifth City out there to cafe in some town out west, didn't you, Paul?
We never killed anything.
Yeah, that's why we didn't kill nothing, because you guys got mad at each other and God cursed our hunt. Huh? Oh, they were. But you know what? Then I got mad at all three of them because they snored themselves to death. I tell you what, there was a herd of elk within a half mile of that camp. By the next morning, they were 5 miles away. You say, Reggie, how spiritual are you? I'm going to tell you what, this is like two big saw machines going. Like that, you know. I mean, I sat here about 1 o'clock in the morning. Lord, help me. I need to be kind. I'm their preacher, Lord. I'm their pastor. Help me not to have an explode a fit. God didn't answer my prayer. I jumped up out of that bed. Hey! If I can't sleep, nobody else is sleeping here. Did I not do that or not? Right on, preacher. You think you're getting me going to hunt with those guys? You're crazy. And vice versa. You see what I'm saying? I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, if you'll stay here long enough, almost everybody in this church house you'll have a little problem with.
That's right. Amen.
But if you ain't careful, them people you saw out during the week, you just thought they're sweetie pies. But you walked in church, these folks have been going to church with for 30 years. Ain't that just like us? How many would say, Reggie, just a little bit guilty? Not much guilty, but a little bit guilty. I'm talking about that God knows what you're doing. God understands that. You think God don't understand if you go to church with somebody 30, 40 years, you might have a hard time still loving them? Sure. Now, I want to remind you of something. Brother Ralph, I am glad you came here a little bit. No, I tell you, I appreciate those folks. Aren't you glad God sent me in? Now, let me tell you something here. There's something God said He'd do. He said, if you don't remember, He said, I'm going to take your candlestick out of it. I'll remove it. And I scratched my head, Sister Wilson, I said, why would God say, remember and repent, or I'll come quickly and take your candlestick out? Now, why would God do that? He said, if you don't love the Lord, you don't love each other, why would you do that? And here's why. God showed me this week. I asked Him, I said, God, I want you to show me why you would do that. He said, Reggie, because when a church gets to where, even though they're favored, fundamental, and faithful, when they get to where they do not love me and love each other, they will be a curse on the gospel. And they cannot love the lost like they need to love them. And they'll do more damage than good. And because of that, if we will not remember and repent, I'll come take your light. I'll take the light out. Because we're more destructive when we don't love than anything else. And let me tell you a little something we're going to find out. God will continuously take you through that cycle of Christian growth, and it'll get broader and wider and deeper every time you go through. And you'll think, oh, I've been through this 4 or 5 times, man. I'm used to this. God will hit you with stuff you never got hit with before. You ever dreamed of getting hit with it, and you wonder, I don't know if I can handle this or not, Lord. Third one, the reasons I'm saying, I just quickly do this. When we don't love the Savior like we ought to, and we've left our first love for the brethren, we can't love the lost, the sinners, like we ought to. We just can't do it. You cannot be cold in your love toward Jesus and cold in your love toward the brethren and have a testimony. And here's the sad part about it is that we intuitively, our spirit tells us we're in trouble. But we don't often know what to do about it. So God says, I want you to remember from whence you're fallen. That church was fallen. I want you to remember. And so you know what I want you to do this week? I want you just to remember who Jesus is, what He did for you, where He's taken you from. I want you to remember how He forgave you. How did He forgive you? He just forgave you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to repent. Repent means to turn. And say, Lord, I want you to restore my love to you. You know, Daddy, I can't even restore my own love to the Lord on my own. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do it. God, I want you to restore my love for you, my love for the brethren in this church. I want you to restore my love for the lost. And I tell you what, yesterday I had, you say, Reggie, did you get any joy out of this deal? I sure did. God gave me a little test yesterday. There's an elderly man, very gruff, you know, self-assertive, you know, self-made kind of guy, you know. He was talking to me. And while he was talking to me, the Lord said, you lay your left hand on his right shoulder and you ask him if he's saved. And boy, I tell you what, it was a blessing. He was talking to him pretty soon. He kind of quit, and I said, I laid my head down for him. I said, sir, I want to ask you a question. Are you a saved man? Do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is honest truth what he said to me. He said, Reggie, took a big old deep breath. He said, Reggie, when I was a boy, I got saved. He said, I can tell you where I got baptized after I got saved. And he said, I appreciate you asking. He said, but I believe I am saved. You know, I hope he is and everything, but what I'm saying to this is that joy, God said, Reggie, you get back to loving the lost. You get back to loving the brethren, and you get back to loving me. It'll fix a lot of stuff in your life. And so this morning, I'm pretty well done. You know, you heard the story, didn't you, about the couple been married for about 40 years. They're driving down the truck one night. She's sitting over here on the right-hand side. He's sitting over here on this side. And the moon was up there, and she looked up there in the moon in the sky, and she got to thinking about when they first got married. She said, you know, honey, she said, we used to ride down the road together, and you'd put your arm around me and said you'd kind of squeeze me up real close. Said, remember that? He said, yeah. She said, honey, what's happened to us? He said, honey, I don't know, but I ain't the one that moved. You know what? My Lord is telling Reggie Kelly this morning. He said, Reggie, I ain't the one that moved. You have. And so this morning, the pianist, I want you to come. You might start off this morning by saying, dear Lord, I'm kind of like our old preacher. I'm guilty too. You listen to me. There are more battered, bruised, bitter preachers than the world would care to count. There are more battered and bruised and bitter Christians who are just out of sheer, listen to me, sheer faithfulness coming to church rather than being motivated by saying, oh, glory to God, it's Sunday, let's go meet the brethren and let's worship God together. And you cannot, you listen to me, you say, Reggie, why does God allow this to break us? To bring us to the end of ourselves. That's what it's all about. To where He becomes our all in all. And we can really... You ever prayed, Lord, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? You get ready for stuff, if you read His life carefully, that I may know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. I tell you, sometimes we don't even know what we're asking for. But anyway, this morning, pianist play. You stand with me today. If you don't care, I'd appreciate you standing. If you just say, you know, Brother Reggie, I'd just like for God to give me my first love back. I'd just like God to just make me fall in love with Jesus all over again. Why don't you come this morning? Just ask Him. He said, you have not because you ask not. And so I just want to have a time of giving it to the Lord. Maybe say, Lord, I just ain't got the love for the brethren I once had. And Lord, I'd like to love my brethren. I'd like to, honest to goodness, have a wonderful, wonderful feeling in my heart whenever I see my brethren. I'd like to have that. I'd like to have that. Would you come this morning? And Lord, I'd like to have that love for the lost again in my soul, to where I care about people's souls, where they're going to spend eternity. Would you come this morning, just do some business with God? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to remember. I want to remember. And Lord Jesus, I want to repent. And I want to do the first works over again. Lord, I want to be where I ought to be with You today. Would You come? Would You come? Ain't a thing I can do unless the Holy Ghost of God does it. All I can do is just to ask and plead and encourage and exhort. I want you to ask yourself an honest question today. In your heart, where you really are, what's it like toward your brethren today? Have you said negative things, bad things, degrading things about the brethren, not fixed it, not got it right? You got a problem, friend. You got a problem. You need to get it fixed. You need to get it fixed. There ain't going to be no way around it. You ain't going to plow through that mountain. You ain't going to go around it. You ain't going to dig through it. You ain't going to go over it. God is going to hold you till that thing is taken care of. I promise you. He won't treat you no different, does any other child of His. Would you come? The love of God. Boy, I hope this week you just focus on how much God loves you. I tell you, when Jesus died on that cross and shed His blood, when He gave everything that He was to die for our sins, somebody said if a dog died for you, you'd build a monument to him.